This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. As Nathan just reminded us, it is extraordinarily cold in Maryland. In the mid-teens now, probably getting into the high 20s this afternoon, then more snow, wind, bitter cold temperatures into the weekend. It's causing all kinds of problems for people who have homes and those who don't. We want to share some ideas about how to cope. In a few minutes, we'll speak with Ruth Ann Norton, CEO of Green and Healthy Homes Initiative. First, to speak about services for the city's homeless population, we're joined by Achike Oranye. He's manager of homeless and mental health outreach services for the nonprofit People Encouraging People Incorporated. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Sheila.
Achike, tell us briefly what People Encouraging People does, especially in weather like this.
People Encouraging People is one of the foremost outreach organizations in the city. We provide mental health and outreach to the homeless people that are scattered around the city. What we're doing right now is involved with the city's initiative of Code Blue. We are among agencies that are supposed to be hands in partnership, and what we do is to go around the city where we know homeless people are, and we try to get these homeless people to go to shelter. So we offer transportation. We also try to provide materials for them when they refuse to go to the shelter. Now, in some cases, we may encounter people who are basically lacking the insight or the capacity to actually take those services. And depending on how they are presenting, sometimes we have to initiate what we call emergency petition on the clients just to get them away from the elements and to safety. So we, with other agencies in the city, are right now canvassing the streets, going to corners. Some areas we are pre-identified, where homeless people congregate, and what we do is to really try to offer a helping hand and engagement to these people who need our services, the people who are really underserved.
And tell me more about when you say offer a helping hand, what is it you can do for people? You said obviously you try to encourage them to get to a shelter.
We use vehicles to carry supplies around. We carry warm blankets, and also we carry sleeping bags. We carry hats, gloves, and also we take along, money to purchase food items, get hot coffee. So primarily we offer these resources to the people who we are doing outreach to, and also we have hand warmers. And all these things we try to provide to the homeless people to primarily keep them warm and also engage with them in such a way that they come to trust us and they are able to follow us to be transported to shelters. That's what we do now.
You mentioned that in some circumstances you need to try to get an emergency petition. Is that something you go to court to get this person into a safe place, or what does that mean?
Primarily, we have licensed mental health professionals, and I'm one of them, who actually issue emergency petition based on evaluation of the person that we meet on the street. This is something we do as a last resort, because these are people we have developed relationship with over time. And then when we are able to evaluate based on their presentation, the way we saw them yesterday, the previous day, and today, we're able to say convincingly based on clinical presentation that this person is not capable or have the capacity to make the judgment to stay out here in the cold. And in such cases, because of the psychiatric symptomatology, what we'll do is to write a petition and then ask the police to transport the person. So we do have, I do have the capacity as a licensed mental health professional. And in some cases, when we don't have a licensed mental health professional on site, what the team do is to take the same petition to a judge, and the judge will now sign the petition, and we'll then take it to the police to initiate the transportation of the person.
And help me understand the situation with shelters. You've talked about how important it is, and we can certainly understand how important it is to get people out of the cold. But I've been reading that the city shelters are so full that the War Memorial has been turned into a shelter. Is there capacity to get people out of the cold?
There is actually capacity because the city have made a commitment to make sure that anyone who needs shelter gets shelter. And so we have the traditional shelters, and every program that has opened its doors to people, you know, actually taking clients that they do not normally serve. You know, people like Helping Up Mission and MacVets. MacVets usually serves only veterans, but then as of this time, MacVets opens its doors to, you know, taking anybody that outreach workers bring to their door. So we do have the capacity to get any individual who needs shelter to shelter in the city, especially because the city recognizes that it doesn't want people dying on the streets due to hypothermia.
Of course, of course. That's Achike Oranye, Manager of Homeless and Mental Health Outreach Services at People Encouraging People here on WIPR Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. Let me turn now to Ruth Ann Norton, CEO and President of Green and Healthy Homes Initiative. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Sheila.
In this kind of weather, Ruth Ann, especially with the high winds, what are some of the major sources of heat loss and inefficiency in a typical?
Well, I mean, really, you know, holes in foundations and cracks in windows and poor roofing where there are, they were able to get in not only a lot of air and that's bringing in cold and poor insulation to houses, insulation that was done so long ago that it's now inefficient and effective or just was poorly done. But we also have problems with pipes freezing. And water heaters who can't heat because they're not properly wrapped and maintained. There's lots of issues that we care about at this time of the year where people are often trapped in very cold and unhealthy housing.
Can people fix some of these things themselves?
They can. Let me just say that they can do some weather stripping, certainly go and wrap their water heaters and wrap pipes. But, you know, for a lot of folks who are either older or physically challenged or disabled or unable to get into the crawl spaces necessary to do this, it's very difficult. And so there's a great service for low-income individuals in the city to do a free energy audit and money to do weatherization and other health-based housing interventions.
Do you find that some homeowners, I mean, this cold snap is a bit unusual for the Mid-Atlantic. We've had many a winter where we didn't get this kind of temperatures. Were people just kind of hoping this won't happen? I won't need to deal with my inefficient insulation. I'm just going to try to skate by this.
I think this is a brutal, brutal cold that we have. And I think when spring comes, we tend to forget. And we don't do often the maintenance that we need to do, whether it's fixing gutters so you don't have water coming in. Water intrusion is a bad one to have in winter as well. And so that doesn't happen, or it's often costly. And so it can cost in some housing that has not had the maintenance, it could be thousands of dollars worth of repairs and weatherization that's needed. And so they may not have the money to do it, or it may get put off to do that. But there are simple things that can be done.
For people who rent, are landlords responsible for making weatherization improvements, or do such projects fall primarily on the renter?
Well, it's for landlords who rent and the landlords pay the utility bills, it's in their best interest to do it. That really depends on the lease, but certainly maintaining water heaters that work and maintaining heat is a landlord obligation to make sure that they have furnaces that are working. So they have to maintain those things, and so that's important.
You mentioned utilities. Our producer, Jonna McCone, spoke with Baltimore City's Community Action Partnership. They told us that each year 30,000 to 40,000 households in the city of Baltimore seek financial help to pay their energy bills. What can they do to reduce their energy bills?
Right. So that's what we're trying to do with the Green and Healthy Homes Initiative and with the city's program at Green Healthy and Sustainable Housing is we're trying to lower the cost and consumption of energy by weatherizing homes, by wrapping water heaters, wrapping pipes, doing a sealing around doors and windows, proper weather stripping, and ensuring that we have proper insulation in attics and walls, and that roofs are repaired, and that there's windows that are not broken, and that are working properly, so that we do those things so that people don't have to depend on low-income heating assistance. Instead, we have a double win. People are warmer, they're healthier. Extreme heat and extreme cold can trigger lots of health problems for the seniors as well as children. So if folks want to engage in an audit or learn tips, they can call us at 410-534-6447, and we'll have a professional speak with the individual as to whether or not they qualify for free services that we and others provide in the city, or if they just need help. And that doesn't matter on income. If people need help about how to properly weatherize and maintain their homes, they should give us a call.
That number again is 410-534-6447. We will have that on our website. I appreciate you both coming in to talk to us at this cold time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sheila.
Thank you very much, Sheila.
Achike Aranye is Manager of Homeless and Mental Health Outreach Services at People Encouraging People. Ruth Ann Norton is CEO and President of Green and Healthy Homes Initiative. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. And as I said, part of that information will be the phone number, 410-534-6447. I'm Sheila Casta. Ahead on Maryland Morning, Barry Lewis Paulisar. Stay with us on 88.1.